Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, ripping you apart roast chicken style. And we love to be ripped apart like a roast chicken. And talking about getting ripped apart.
Hello, Benny.
That's Kingy on the other side of the desk. It's Ben Castanelia with you. The little pussies ripped apart the big pussies last Thursday night at the SCG, Kingy, did they? Yes, it was halfway through the second quarter. I was thinking, this is not looking good for the Cats. And I'm not sure what happened, but they've just kicked nine on the dangle.
Talk about flicking the switch.
Oh, well, they flicked more than this. They were flicking the more than just the switch, I think.
Yeah, that third quarter. Can you name a better quarter of footy Geelong's played in the last 2 years? There was a good quarter against Richmond in that win mid-year last year.
Yeah, look, I mean, they've played some good quarters, the Cats. They've got.
But that third quarter was when they're on another level.
Yeah, they were. They played well. I mean, Brisbane sort of. Yeah, it's funny how those games work. But it was a really impressive performance. And, you know, I thought it was one of the best games I've seen Dangerfield play.
He imposed himself on the game.
He didn't get it 35 times.
No, but he basically said to Geelong, we're not losing this game. I'm going to put you on my back.
Well, I thought Selwood was good. Yeah. He just does a little bit of that little stuff that no one else really likes to do, and he just sort of helps set the tone. Even when they were behind, there was one play in the middle where he just pushed the ball forward. Geelong were in a lot of trouble at that stage. And it's probably easier to jump on board when everything's going your way. In the third quarter, but I thought Selwood was pretty crucial. And then the Channel 7 commentary just had Gary Ablett basically retiring at halftime. And then had
In defence, Bruce had Gary Ablett retiring at halftime.
And then had to backtrack when the little fella started to get a bit of the pill. But
what about when he just hunches over and he gets to 45 out? That only means one thing. I don't know why you'd hang it on him when he's 36 and you know he's still got some tricks in the kit bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a dozen games of footy left. Why wouldn't you just celebrate what's left of his career and go, gee, we're lucky we've got him for another.
Yeah, I agree.
Look,
he's going to have some games when he's quiet, which we're not used to Gary Ablett being quiet. But he's going to have those games. The position he plays and, you know, if the team's having a bit of a stinker, he's not going to get the supply. So, yeah, but when he does get near the ball and he's got ball in hand, you start to get a bit as excited as a Cat fan because you know that something good's going to happen.
And you make opposition teams nervous.
Bruce Nankervis.
And you do. And that's why he still has it 36.
Their valve's starting to just get sort of tight.
Yes.
In the wrong regions.
Yes, correct. So, no, it was very enjoyable.
Sam Simpson? How good was that?
I'm going to talk about another Sam, and I know you've poo-pooed this bloke.
Menegola.
But he's...
He played well.
His month of footy has been...
Yep.
He's probably been Geelong's most consistent player since I got back.
Yeah, he's been good. Yeah,
if you were counting Kaji Greaves' votes right now, and I know we're only six rounds in, Sam Menegola would be top three.
Ooh, top three.
I dare you to argue differently.
Oh, okay. Top three. Yeah, he's been. Yeah, look, he has been good.
Give me three other players that would be above him. Dangerfield hasn't been great.
No.
You've had two different ruckmen.
Yeah.
Although I must say, Darcy Fort's last
He's been okay. Yeah, been he hasn't been the worst. Three players that are above him. You're probably right. He'd be up there. Tommy Hawkins has been okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and a bag of three now is like a bag of six of yesteryear. Mm-hmm. That's a good return in games that are 10 goals to eight. Mm-hmm. You're probably right, Menegola. And I just hope he can continue it. Sometimes what has frustrated me about the way he plays is that he doesn't always go the first option. He goes the big U-turn and it gets him into trouble. And he can make some really, really...
elementary mistakes.
Yes. When he's going, though, he's good. He kicked a crucial goal in that second quarter.
I don't think he has made those elementary mistakes since we've been back.
He made in one game from memory.
Melbourne. There was one against Melbourne.
He did make a few. And that's when I turned off at half time. So I only saw the ones he made in the first half. I didn't see any in the second half because I'd actually turned it off.
Yeah, you didn't do the Melbourne game, did you?
No, I didn't. It was the first time I've ever turned a game of footy off that that contained my own team. I couldn't watch it anymore. I'd seen enough by half, and I went and...
Did you watch the Richmond
Sydney? I went and stroked the dog.
Did you watch the Richmond Sydney game?
Richmond Sydney.
On Sunday.
I saw a little bit of that. Oh, mind you, it was like a... I mean, animals were pairing up. It was cyclonic. Yeah,
but you talk about that. Were you there? I don't think you did. The night that it absolutely hoovered down and Tom Hawkins kicked six.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a different footy. Now, I mean, Sydney play an ugly brand, and they're playing an even uglier brand because Johnny Longmire, I think, has probably gone into a little bit of old coach preservation mode that he doesn't want to get absolutely blown away. Yeah. So that doesn't help, and old D Hardwick wasn't too happy after the game, suggesting there were 75,000 players in the defensive zone. So Sydney are one of the more unattractive teams to watch, and they're being made to look even more unattractive because they lost Kennedy.
Yep, and Heaney.
And the Heenster. So if Longmire just sort of rolled the dice, he was probably going to lose by 7 goals. That's starting to not look good on your CV because they're not playing final Sydney.
No.
But
do you know what, though? If you've been a Sydney fan for the last 20 years,
you've had a good ride.
You've had a fairly good ride.
Yeah, you've had a solid ride. Yeah. Good ride.
I think you've missed finals 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been unbelievable, but that may happen to the Cats.
It may.
Yeah. So this is my point. What happens?
But Geelong doesn't bottom out, remember?
Ben. We don't. We're not allowed to, apparently. Which is really strange, but
I don't think Geelong, I'm going to argue on this. Geelong can't afford to bottom out. I don't think financially they can afford to do it. They have to remain competitive and viable every year.
Well, what are the AFL just going to say? Because you think the AFL are going to lose Geelong?
No, they're not. But they don't want to be going cap in hand to the AFL when they've...
Some point, finishing 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th every year, you're going to bottom out because people are going to get sick of that. My argument would be...
But the Cats haven't finished 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th.
No, but...
They finished 8th in... 2015 was the outlier year when they missed the finals, but nothing went right that year.
Yeah.
They finished 8th in... they got knocked out in the elimination final after finished the home and away 5th against Melbourne in 2018. Yeah. But they were preliminary finalists in 16 and 17, and 19, semi-finalists in 14, preliminary finalists in 12, elimination finalists, 13 they were first semi, 13 they were preliminary
Prelim.
Finalists,
Hawks.
12 they were knocked out in elimination. And then you go back to 5 years prior to that, and obviously it's grand final or prelim every year.
I'm not, they haven't bottomed out yet, but to be coming out and saying we can't, I'm not talking about the now. I'm talking about potentially in the future. I think how you get back to the top quicker is by bottoming out. Mm. So you actually, if the longer you spend finishing teams that finish 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th every year, I think your supporter base start to get...
But if you can continue to finish and be thereabouts, wouldn't you be happier with that?
And right now we are, but that's not going to continue. This group ain't. You're not going to have Selwood, Hawkins, playing in 3 years'
time. But if they continue to... You know, they've got 3 first-round draft picks next year.
Yeah.
And they use those to...
I'd love them to get a pick like a Max King or a Ben King or an absolute game changer. They don't have anyone like that.
But how do we know the two Kings are going to be game changers?
Oh, we have to watch. If you're talking pants down stuff, you're talking Kings. They are... Give them another 5 or 6 years, or another 4 years,
right. And
70, 80 games under their belt. Goodness me.
I hope it's not a false dawn.
Pop your helmet, put your helmets on. They're going to be unbelievable. And the other one who I love, my favourite player in the AFL... Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't play for the Cats, is... And I know he's playing in a struggling team, but I tell you what, he is going to be anything, is that Nick Blakey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He does some stuff that just...
If he had to kick that goal late, they would have been back in less than a kick.
And just the pickup of the ball and that was just extraordinary.
Those conditions.
He is... And he's 196. Mm. He just...
He puts a bit of size on.
Oh. Max King, the two King boys, and Nick Blakey... They are the three genuine stars of the future.
Did you watch any of Gold Coast on Saturday night?
I was doing Essendon North Melbourne. A stink bomb that was.
Well, I got to watch Isaac Rankin.
Yeah, well, he was pretty good too, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, and
he and King together.
And Isaac Rankin has got a little bit
of wouldn't you love to be able to get that sort of talent in. Yeah. I mean, Cooper Stevens, I think, he's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah.
He ain't Max King, Ben King, or Isaac Rankin. he might be handy, but he's a bit of a ball winner. Because they're picking pick 16.
Yeah, well, that's not the Cats' fault.
Exactly. But if you just decide that you pull the right levers and when things are going pear-shaped, you know what? We'll go through 2 years of pain to get four picks inside the top 15.
But there's no guarantee when you bottom out you're going to come back.
Well, if you pick right, you will. You have to.
Well, Geelong have shown that some of those high-end picks haven't actually worked.
Well, because they haven't been high-end.
But their first rounders, they haven't got many of their first rounders right.
Well, they did.
Early.
Mackey.
Yeah.
Selwood.
That, but since Selwood, name of...
Yeah, but they're not pick. They're picking pick 14. But so that's not picked inside the top five. Wouldn't you love to have Connor Rosie on your list?
Hang on. And we love the bloke. He was a favourite of ours at K-Rock. It was Thurlow. But Cats could have taken B. Grundy.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not picking top five.
I know.
They're out to 15 or 16.
But they still haven't got that right, and clubs are getting picks behind.
Oh, well, that's always going to happen. But I reckon if you're picking pick five now inside the top five, you'd hope to be getting somebody who's a bit of a game changer for your footy club. Yeah.
You would hope.
So not pick 15. I mean, Thurlow, Lang, Smeds. I mean, someone just nodded off at the wheel getting those.
Taylor was around one pick.
Harry Taylor?
Yep.
Yeah, he was, but he was pick 17.
Correct.
Yeah. All I'm saying is Geelong haven't bottomed out yet, but at some point when it comes, I reckon you're best to just sort of fashion yourself down the bottom of the ladder, get yourself a couple of years.
Do you suggest Geelong tank?
Well, not now, but when that time comes, when Selwood's gone and Hawkins is gone and the rest of the team's gone, the old Tui's gone and Rodney Ashman's gone and Dangerfield's gone and they're all gone. Yeah, Rod's not on the list, but he never was. He wasn't. He was a Carlton star, old Rod. But when that time comes...
Was he better with or without helmet?
Oh, he loved... He had a really solid helmet, did old Rod. So, anyway, we don't need to worry about what's going to happen in the future, but the Pussycats were good.
Collingwood is going to be...
Yeah, that's it.
On a fast deck.
Yeah,
it'll be weather fine, track firm.
Yeah, Clegghammer reading will be 4.22. Oh, talking about that, glassy mist. When's this coming out, Kingy?
This is Tuesday afternoon, so it'll be exploding into your ears around sort of Tuesday night.
Okay, so tonight. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock, glassy mist goes around at Cranbourne.
Yeah.
Have a little...
Is it on the grass?
Yeah, it's on the grass.
On the grass?
Yeah, so it's a soft 7 at the minute, but we'll be upgraded, I'd say, to a soft 6.
Or a dead...
So have a little nibble on the daughter of Glass Harmodium in a 3-year-old filly's race, 1,400 metres.
Yep.
So I think she's a nice chance. She's come up a little bit short for mine.
Gamble responsibly.
The more you bet, the more you win.
Gamble
so that, yeah, so that just honk, give her a good old-fashioned honking is what you want to do tomorrow, I reckon.
Right.
So she's got D Moore on board. We're very, very excited. But, yeah, the Pies... they're pretty good, the Pies. I know they're missing Howe. Is DeGoey going to come back?
You would think.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd say he's back. No side bottom hurts because he's traditionally had 7,000 possessions against the Cats because we refused to tag him.
The other one that goes, Treloar seems to go right against the Cats.
He does, and he was good last week as well. He's still working into his season, so he'll only be better. Adams is a solid player. Pendlebury's a star.
Who goes to Myachek?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd be sending the eight.
Cole Jasny.
Yeah.
What about Henri?
No, I'd be sending Cole Jasny. He's a lockdown defender, Cole Jasny. Mychek's the one who can bob up and kick you four goals.
Which he did last week.
Henry hasn't been in great form.
No.
I reckon Cole Jasny's been pretty good given how much of the preseason he missed.
Yeah, but he had a good... He got the
He's building. He's getting better. Chuck him to Mychek. They're the same, basically the same dimensions.
Yep.
He's a lockdown player. Doesn't matter if he doesn't really get the footy.
Both from Tassie.
Yeah, and just... Yeah, I reckon that's a perfect match. Absolutely perfect matchup.
Yep.
Blitzarves plays on old big Coxie.
If he's playing.
Yeah, because but he's a bit all sort of arms and legs, but you got to have someone who's 8,000 centimetres.
Who goes to Hoskin Elliott?
Yeah, well, that's why I'd send Henry to Hoskin Elliott.
Yep.
Physical sort of player, reasonably athletic Henry.
Yep.
So can keep up with him and he's probably good in the air. Yep. Probably got a few centimetres on him. Because Hoskin Elliott's not a bad mark.
If
DeGoey plays, Cole Jasny probably goes to DeGoey, which means Harry Taylor, if he's going to Mychek. Oh, goodness me.
Does Taylor go to Cox and Blitzarves go to Myachek?
Yeah, well, that's an option. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Who does Tui go to then?
Well, I'm not sure. He's probably... Who goes to Stevenson?
Yeah.
Buse?
Probably.
Yeah, well, I think Buse is your lockdown bloke. Stevenson's your you know, he's the bloke that can do anything. Yep. He can kick three goals in 3 minutes and you don't see him for like three quarters.
And that's happened this year.
Yeah, but you got to try and stop those three goals in 3 minutes. Yep. So Busey's just, he's just the blanket. Busey's probably taller than you think, 186.
Yep.
Stevenson's probably closer to 190, is he?
Correct, yep.
Yeah. So look, but he's probably not a his game isn't built around high marking, Stevenson. It's more just his elusiveness around the ground. He gets away from you and can kick a goal from anywhere. So yeah, I reckon that's a good matchup. The Cats actually have, I reckon, a reasonable matchup defensive wise for Collingwood.
Yep.
I'm not. Yeah, I reckon they can fashion something there that works.
Fort's got a big ask in the ruck.
Yeah, he's been good. He's just got to keep plodding along. Give a contest. He doesn't need to be in Geelong's best. He just got to do something.
He uses the footy all right. He seems to find the footy.
And seems to be growing, getting a bit more confident. He just needs to be serviceable. It just can't be, oh my God, Grundy's absolutely dominating this game. He's just got to provide a contest. That means he touches the ball eight times and we sort of nullify the clearances. Yeah, okay, fine, we take that. You just can't have Grundy, dominating, because Grundy can get it 25 times around the ground.
Correct.
You just can't have that. So, Fort aerobically
has the ability to go with Grundy too.
Yeah, and he's probably got a, Grundy's got the size on him. Grundy's just a big man.
He's a beast.
Fort's a bit more. I mean, he has got reasonable size.
He's gangly.
A little bit more gangly, yeah. So he's just got to find a way. If I was playing Grundy in the ruck, and my days in the ruck, you know, I was just one of the great tab ruckmen at 178, is just play off him.
Yep.
Don't get involved in any sort of WrestleMania with him because he'll camel clutch you. Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik sort of style. Just you sort of got to work, stay a metre off him and then use your leap.
Because
he's actually probably a bit taller than Grundy.
Taller, yeah.
Not much, but just don't get involved in that wrestle because Grundy's going to win that every time. Just play off him and make yourself a little bit more unpredictable. Now, it's probably easier said than done, but that's my two Bobsworth special coaching from in the Cat Attack podcast.
Okay, so there'll be at least two changes to the Cats. They've already said that Stephen will come in for one of Duncan or Knuckle.
So I thought he was managed last week, was he?
Well, he wasn't managed.
He played in the twos.
Well, no, he was managed. They managed him to play half an hour.
They managed to play him in the twos.
Well, it's not in the twos. It's match simulation. So they've probably gone.
He played in the twos.
No, it's a, well, Benny, think about it. It's a five-day turnaround. He's coming off not a great base.
Yeah.
So don't play him in a crucial game. But manage him to the point that you run him around for half an hour in a scratch match where he can just go and get some freedom, find the footy. He played in the midfield in that half an hour rather than playing in Starvation Corner.
Yeah.
So that is legitimate. That's actually management, Benny. That's why it's called managed. Not dropped. It's called managed for that reason because we are managing you because we're going to manage your time. We've got it coming off a five-day break into a seven-day break. So what we're going to do is we're going to split the difference at six. You're going to play tomorrow. You're going to have a run around and a bit of a blowout, and then we're going to get you right for next Thursday night.
Okay, well, I'm not expecting much from Jack Stephen.
Okay.
He's been putrid, let's be honest. He's been horrible. So if I expect nothing and he provides something great, but if we're expecting Jack Stephen, he doesn't look like an AFL footballer. You cannot be that shape and be serious about it.
He's not alone in the AFL at the moment. Well,
he's not. There's no way known he's fit. I don't care what you say. He would look just in the GFL in terms of fitness.
We will probably have an assistant coach pre-game on Thursday night, I suspect, if not an injured player.
Well, they're going to just say he's fit and he looks, you know, that's just his. They're going to.
Depends on the assistant coaches.
They're not going to say he's unfit. He just doesn't look fit. I mean, come on. To your eye, does he look fit?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone else's eyes.
So we'll ask the question then and go, do.
And they'll say, how are they going to answer that? Oh, yeah, look, he's eating donuts. I don't know. It just, I don't know. Well, Charlie Constable, how did he go in that scratch match? He can't get a game.
No.
What about Al Fogarty?
Yeah, Al Fog's close.
Is he doing anything?
He's close. And Jay Clark, I think. This might be the week that they might finally unleash Jay Clark.
Yeah, well, maybe. Okay, I'll ask you this question. Would you prefer Jack Stephen or Jordan Clark playing?
Jack Stephen.
Jack Stephen?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, I wouldn't, but I mean, I know they play probably slightly different roles. I just think I want to be getting games into Jordan Clark.
Are Geelong missing what Jordan Clark provides right now?
A bit of dash, potentially.
Are they missing it?
Well, they didn't on the weekend, but I think that you can never have enough dash. Mm-hmm. But I think that's... When they've struggled, that's probably what they've lacked.
Yeah, they look slow when they struggle.
Oh, every club does, though. Mm. That's the problem. As soon as someone loses, oh, they're slow. And the next week they win. Oh, hang on. We were slow last week, and this week we've suddenly turned into Usain Bolt overnight. Like, yeah, I don't buy into all that, but
just on Usain Bolt, what? You see his wife gave birth to a daughter. And you see what they named her?
What?
Olympia?
No.
Lightning Bolt.
They did not.
They did. Olympia Lightning. Olympia, I've got no issue with, and nice connection to Olympics, but the middle name is Lightning.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, well, nothing surprises me because, Michael Jackson called his kid Blanket.
Is that his name or his nickname?
His name is Blanket. It says on his birth certificate, Blanket.
Oh, baby Blanket.
Yeah. Well, it's like Boy George. That's how he named himself because it just said Boy George. So his name is actually George, yes. But on his birth certificate it said Boy George. George. That's how he named him, got himself as Boy George.
You want to answer some questions?
What? Blanket.
Daz Broncos.
No, oh, Daz is all
Hello,
over.
Daz.
He loves it.
Is he still in San Diego?
He could be anywhere, he went Daz. Down there. I hope he's not in Florida.
Wow.
Because they got more cases than Petrocelli. Yeah.
San Diego had the Navy ship set fire. I think they're still trying to put that out. Too. Uh-huh. So they've no idea. With the stellar success of Sam Simpson last week, not to put him under too much pressure going forward, who is the next youngling to be presented for games in our best 22? I'm hopeful of seeing Freddie, Evans and Cocky this year, all of three, which did quite well in a scratch match versus Pies on the weekend. I think they want to play Kruger. They definitely want to play Cockatoo, but they're going to have to find out at some stage whether Nikai Cockatoo's body can hold up.
Yeah, well.
And if he's out of contract, but I've got a sneaking suspicion they'll give him another year if he wants it. But I don't know, would Nikai Cockatoo go, do you know what, I might take the risk and see if another club picks me up and see if they can get me right.
Well, some club probably would.
Link McCarthy style.
Yeah, well, the Cats haven't had a great record with players leaving and then...
Didn't I put the hex on Link McCarthy? Get him on K-Rock.
Yeah, he 40. Couldn't get a kick, oh, wow. Unfortunately.
He's actually struggled against Geelong both times.
Yeah.
He barely saw it until he took the mark and kicked the goal.
Yeah.
Round 22 last year.
No, he did. He did struggle. Yeah. I'd love to. What we mentioned Fogarty before. I mean, he's a Cats first round pick. Mm. I know, 22. So top was he 22?
Yeah, he was 22. Kelly was 24 in that draft. I'm pretty sure.
So he was the Cats first pick.
He was
the
Cats first pick.
Yeah. So I know he's had injury problems and whatnot, but is he just going?
No. I think he's been emergency.
So wouldn't you? I'd like to see him get in there because this is his third year.
Third year.
Yeah. Is he? I don't know. I'd like to see what he can do because I really don't know.
Yeah.
So, Kruger, I don't think he's going to get a game this year. He's just not.
There's
nowhere really to play.
Unless Radigalia went down.
Yeah, or Hawkins.
Yeah.
You'd give him a crack. But I think there's nothing wrong with giving him another year of grounding as a twos player, in inverted commas.
I did see your tweet about Sam Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
That you did mention.
Yeah. Well,
there's nothing wrong with the grounding and the.
No, it's not. But we can't do that anymore because we want fast food service. Mm. So a kid plays in the twos. Oh, he can't play in the twos. His manager says, gets in his ear and says, we can't get in the twos. We'll get you at another club. They'll put you in the seniors. Well, look what happens when Sam Simpson comes in and has a long spell. I mean, we saw Sam Simpson in 2018 and they basically had to play him because they were filing through the yellow pages for players at that point.
No, that was 2017.
No, didn't he play in 2018 as well?
Yeah, he played one game.
Was it 17 when he played those games?
He played a bunch of games.
When Geelong actually sent out SOS for players.
Yeah,
they actually had they had a sign up at the butcher saying, we need players, come down.
He and Wiley Buzzer debuted in the draw against GWS. At,
yeah, we were there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ready.
No.
But he showed little glimpses in that patch.
Yeah.
Just tiny little
passages. He had to put some size on.
Yeah, so he does his grounding. He has 3 or 4 years of a couple of games, but basically a twos player.
Yep.
He comes in against a side that was near the top of the ladder and is one of Geelong's better players.
Yep, holds his own.
Because he's had the grounding. I mean, I argue that you can really cruel players by playing them when they're not ready.
Yep.
And you keep playing them when they're not ready and you say, we're getting some experience. And I'm not, I know people say, I've been an advocate of Radigalia doing that. He's a different sort of player. He's a big-bodied, physical. He's ready physically.
Yep.
He just needs to learn the game.
Yeah, and you can do that at AFL level.
And he, but the guy who's just not ready, and gets pummeled and then spends a year and a half getting pummeled and then loses all confidence, some of those guys you never get back.
Yep.
So there's just nothing wrong with actually presenting players, but the system now doesn't really allow it, because if you show a glimpse in the VFL, another club will say, well, we'll pick him up.
And the other thing is too, if we go back to very small list sizes, that'll completely change it as well.
I reckon Al Fogg, I'd like to see what he can do, because I've got absolutely no idea, to be honest with you.
Hey guys, just wondering, this is from Foxdog50.
Oh, the Foxdog.
Why do you think Geelong for years have never recruited a young key ruckman in the draft from under 18 level? I could be wrong, but I think the last few genuine key ruck recruit was Dawson Simpson or Trent West. We seem to get mature age rucks, e.g. the Big O, Hamish McIntosh, Reece Stanley, Zach Smith, Fort, the list is gone. I have to admit, Darcy Fort in the past few weeks has been serviceable. Not poor, but good actually. His game against Brisbane was awesome. Couldn't believe how low his stats were. What I'm trying to say is, why don't we ever get an 18-year-old kid and bring them through the ranks and bleed him over 2 years or so in the VFL?
Well,
nobody does it anymore.
No, the clubs that have pulled the trigger on Ruckman have been rewarded.
Grundy.
I think the Bulldogs will be rewarded with Tim English.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give it another few years.
But you look at the number one Ruckman at every club in the competition. Goldstein, obviously.
Finkelstein.
But you look at everybody else's number one ruckman has basically been elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I did a thing a couple of years ago where I think it was 9 or 10 of the club's number one ruckman were actually from other clubs.
Yep.
The reason they do it is because it's so speculative, the ruckman, in terms of how they're going to project out at AFL level. And clubs aren't prepared to put up a pick anywhere inside the top 40 on a player that, unless they're a sure thing. I mean, Grundy was talked about as top 10, ended up going to 18. Mm. And Collingwood had the balls to go and pick him. I agree with Fox. What was it?
Foxdog 50.
That I'd love to see the Cats take a flyer on a player, because I think what you can do is, if you do have a ruckman who has serious talent, he potentially gets through to 12, 13, 14 because other clubs are reluctant to take him. So if you've got the balls to put the old kahoonies on the line, you can be really rewarded if you've got the right sort of player. And it may be, if Geelong were to keep three of their picks this year, I don't know if there's a ruckman, and with no footy on, it's probably hard to tell. Yep. But I don't know whether there's a ruckman in this year's draft who they think is a worthy top 20 pick. But I think the Cats, if there is, I reckon the Cats would really need to pull the trigger on him.
I tell you who's a big boy that he's floating around locally, is Sammy Walsh's brother.
Yeah, but is he a ruckman?
He's more than 200 centimetres.
Yeah, but does he play? It doesn't mean anything. So, I mean, Darcy Moore's 202, and he moves like a gazelle. He's not a ruckman.
Yeah, I think he will end up being a ruckman.
The thing is, you need to have somebody, and I think this is, talking to Brad Ottens over the last few years, the development of young ruckman at junior level isn't great.
No.
They want to play them up forward, and they want to play them. No one really learns to play in the ruck.
It's not sexy to be a ruckman.
No.
It's sexy to be the key forward or the key defender.
And then they use it under the guise of, he's got to have more strings to his bow. So no player is actually being taught how to play in the ruck. And I'd be really reluctant to pull the trigger on a player like that who hasn't played predominantly ruck, who's played other positions, and then you try and make him a ruckman. The one thing you got to have if you're a ruckman is you got to have a bit of balls. You got to be competitive. You've got it. Brady Grundy's classic. Because, I mean, he's skillful and does all the other crap, but he's competitive. Yep. He's a big brute. And that's the knock on Stanley. He's a big brute, but he's not competitive. He has games where he's completely uncompetitive. I mean, we saw how – and this is probably a great example. How good a player has Tom Hawkins been as a forward? Remember the year they tried to put him in the ruck? They hated it.
Yeah.
They had no interest in it.
About 2010?
It was horrible. He didn't want to be there.
The old Darren Jolly, yeah, so eyes
was,
lit up.
Yeah. He didn't want to be there. It's not his go. So I just think if you've got a ruckman who's top 20 talent and he's played in the ruck and has been developed a ruckman, great. Don't draft one and then try and make him a ruckman, because I reckon that adds a layer of sort of speculativeness that just creates an issue.
All right. Footstar, when the first lockdown occurred, another radio station released their calls of grand finals on podcasts. I know that K-Rock played 07-9-11. As a Cat supporter living overseas, I wasn't able to tune in. Is there a chance these could be released onto a podcast? We are working with the AFL on that, so we hope to be able to do that for the K-Rock football family.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Turbo Cat, we have brought in JS. That's Jack Stephen. That's one position that a younger player struggles to get a chance with. Him not allowed to play us. Him not play allowed us to see Sam Simpson, and that one game may now be enough for him to get another contract. One might say that if a kid is good enough, do we risk being left with a husk of a team soon? Ablett, Joel, Danger, Harry, Stephen, Hawkins, Tui, Blitz, Rowan and Duncan at 29 and above. At what point does having so many mature 29-plus 250-game players inhibit the development of younger players? Do we have a different football norm now? Is the ideal average age of a side older than the pre-free agency era, or are we creating a house of cards? Well, you and I, well, you especially, have been banging about this for years, that Geelong have got a lot of older players, and they are going to go in pretty much...
They're all going to finish at the one time.
Yep.
And that's my point. That's when I... This is my point about Geelong maybe bottoming out, that sort of reading the tea leaves and knowing when that year or two is, and really bottoming out and playing a lot of kids. And yeah, I mean, look, it's going to hit the Cats. They're not, they've recruited to prop themselves up and have a crack, and you know, they've successfully been around the mark without actually winning the premiership. So, but that's not going to continue on. It's just reality. You're not, you know, once Hawkins and Selwood are gone. You know, Dangerfield then would be probably only a year or two left. What's his motivation level going to be when he's playing in a team that's finishing 14th? You know, Harry Taylor's obviously gone. Zach Tui's gone. There's a whole raft of players there who aren't there. So it's difficult, though, because Geelong right now are thinking, okay, this is a chance for a premiership for us this year,
yep,
as they were last year as well. But shortened season, older group, shorter games. Does this suit us? Well, I hope so. Yep. Let's have a crack. We don't want to play kids because...
we're a chance.
Yeah.
Yep.
But in saying that, somebody like Sam Simpson comes in and plays his role. I'd hate to see if he didn't have a great game against Collingwood, yep, I'd hate to see him out the following week.
Yep.
I'd like to see him, give him at least a month,
yep,
so that he... Because he's not going to probably get 27 possessions next week.
No.
But I'd hate to see him just get dropped on the back of one game and they bring in players like Jack Stephen, yep, who stunk it up and had to get rid of him and then give him a game in a scratch match because he just clearly was going like a bastard. What?
I'm just laughing at you. Kyrus Hire.
Yeah, they're magnificent supporters of K-Rock Kingy.
Thank you, Jared, and the team.
Yeah, Jared would have. He would have been pants down Stubby's arrangement on Thursday night, was it?
North Geelong Grove, Dale and Ocean Grove.
Yeah, they're all over the show.
Find them. K-Rock Footy from 6 on Thursday night. Goodbye, Ben.
See ya.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.